Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400 KKZZ, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Right, let's get it started in here. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm so glad that you are starting your day in a positive way. And we've got some really positive things that we're going to be talking about. And I have Marcia joining me.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
You're like putting yourself together here? You got texts
coming
in? You know
what? It's the end of the year, and my kids, there's so much going on at school with graduation stuff. I can't keep up.
I know. I tell you, you know what they say.
It's a money sieve.
It's a money.
You know, like just the money sucking pit. It right yeah. out of my, hey, my bank account.
Yeah, that's like a parent, a mom and dad thing, right? They're just, you know, how much more does it take to pull the whole
I mean, you
deal
want
together.
Them to do everything. You want them to experience everything. But my word, come on. They're going to Magic Mountain, which they used to go to Disneyland, I guess.
Right. So, yeah.
Go to Magic Mountain. It's $95.
I know.
I mean, and I have two kids, plus I have another kid that lives with me. You know, it's just ridiculous at this point.
Right.
Everything costs money.
I know. Trust me. Four over here, you know, and everything is times, you know. And think about how fortunate we are that we're able to let our children, because there's a lot of kids out there, or a lot of kids out there that aren't. They don't have that.
I know.
So, anyways, well, if you are just joining us today, I want to let you know all the ways that you can join us. And one is at my website, kimpaganoshow.com. And you can listen live there. You can stream us. So definitely be a part of that. Also, Facebook. I'm always plugging who's coming on my show next on Facebook. So become a fan at Kim Pagano Show. And also Twitter, Kim Pagano Show. And iTunes. All my stuff's being downloaded to iTunes. So you can listen live there. Actually taped. They're all there. And you can listen and do your exercising. And have you been exercising?
I have, but not this weekend because things were just crazy. But,
I'm going to get back into it.
Trying to walk at least three or four times a week, and I haven't been to yoga because my shoulder was hurting, but I'm going to go back to yoga today, actually.
Ah, there you go.
I think. I'm hoping.
Yeah, if the day lets you, right?
Well, you know, and then this morning my kids said, oh, we have half day today. I'm like, and I know I should be happy for them.
But half day, what does that mean? Because your kids are older. Does that mean you're home, too?
Well, they drive, you know, so they can drive home. But it just means that, to me, what it means is more mess.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I know. I don't understand. You know, it's funny because my one son totally cleaned up his room. I was so excited. I opened the door not to find this disaster. And I even texted him, said, oh, great job. I really appreciate your help. The next day, upside down, it was like a bigger bomb went off. And I said, what happened? And he goes, Mom, you didn't. I go, yes, I didn't. He goes, yeah, I guess you kind of did. But, you know, but my life's really busy right now. I'm like, really? You know, so.
Well, and I don't understand how it takes so much less time to put clothes on the floor than it does to just stick in the hamper that's sitting right there.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't want to be a nag, but you know.
I know. I'm sure everybody else out there has those same problems. I'm going to think of them as love trails. That's what.
I just closed the door now.
Yeah, yeah. And keep your living area clean. That's what it's all about. I don't know. I guess if they want to live in their mess, right? Anyways, well, we are trying to get in touch with our first guest, which, you know, it's barbecue season, and you know, we've got Steven, and he's going to be talking to us, hopefully, if we can get him on the line. We've got a couple more minutes, but we're going to be talking about the best ribs ever. Like ribs?
I love ribs. Barbecuing is an art.
It really is.
You have to have patience. I can grill. There's a difference between grilling and barbecuing. If you're not from the South, we call everything a barbecue, but that is not barbecuing.
That's right.
Barbecuing is slow. Yeah. Low heat, and usually smoked.
And you know what's funny is now they have so many different holders, you know, for, I just saw something where you put all the vegetables on a skewer and then you hang the skewer. I love all those kind of things.
I like the trays for vegetables because I don't, you know, I like to be able to toss them. So, you know, they have the trays with the holes in it.
With the holes in it, yeah.
That the vegetables won't go through, but that you
But they still get that grilled look and taste. Yeah. I love it.
I'm planning on initiating our barbecue for the first time this season, probably in the next couple of days here.
Oh.
Burgers and some vegetables, and I like the tray thing, too. You know, a great invention is this little chimney thing that you put the coals in with some newspapers. It's like a pitcher. It looks like a metal pitcher with holes in it. And you put the coals in and you surround it with newspaper or something to ignite it. And then you light it and you put it in there and it just ignites all the coals real evenly.
Yeah, I use a gas grill. I grill at least 3 times a week, so I couldn't do that. But, that does taste better to do it on charcoal. But
yeah, so anyways, if we can get him on our line, he's going to be talking to a little bit about all these best ribs ever, 100 killer recipes, and including slaws. Do you love slaws and baked beans?
I do.
Really, that's my favorite. Also, we're going to be talking to Rebecca, and she is going to be talking about the new landmark survey reveals that nearly half of women 18 to 49 report having at least one accidental pregnancy. And so anyways, we'll find out a little bit more about that. And then I'm really excited to be talking to I think it's Ginny, and her book is The Zen Leader: 10 Ways to Go from Barely Managing to Leading Fearlessly. And so I really like that because we need more calmness in our life, correct? So,
well, and be the captain of your ship, as they say.
Oh, there you go. I mean, really, that's what it's all about. You know, you could be a victim. We talked about this yesterday. That's so, everybody picks up on where we've been, but we talked about that yesterday. You can be a victim or you can be a leader. Why not choose to be a leader? If you're a victim, you're going to get the leftovers.
Right.
You're going to get what everybody else chooses
stuck.
For you.
You're never going to be able to move forward.
Yeah, definitely. So we are going to take a quick break. And our phone number here is 805-639-0008. And stay with us. We've got a great show for you. I'd love to hear from you. Hi, it's Kim, and I want to share someone with you, My Mechanic. With over 30 years of experience, you can be sure that your car will always be handled with the latest diagnostic equipment. Everything that needs to be done to your car will be explained in layman's terms.
Hi, I'm Jerry Schaffner, owner of JBS Auto Services. We specialize in gas, diesel, domestic, foreign, street rod, heavy-duty trucks, and motorhomes. Give us a call so we can take care of all your automotive problems. We are located right off the 118 in Simi Valley. Give us a call, 805-522-3923. Again, that number is 805-522-3923.
Everybody's waiting. Everybody's watching. Even when you sleep. Keep your eyes open.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Marcia. We got Barry on our board, and our phone number here is 805-639-0008. And I'd love to hear from you if you have an amazing barbecue recipe, but we are going to talk to Stephen right now. And Stephen, how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Stephen Reichlin. R-A-I-C-H-L-E.
Reichlin. Well, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
So the barbecue Bible, best ribs ever.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about how you got started.
Well, this book was written really to celebrate what I consider to be the most iconic and representative food of world barbecue, and that is ribs. Everybody loves ribs. But there's a tremendous amount of confusion about how to prepare the best ribs. Do you use baby backs? Do you use spare ribs? Do you apply a dry rub? Do you use a marinade? Direct grilling, indirect grilling, etc. So I wanted to, in a short, handy book, really lay out all the essential cuts of meat, the essential seasonings, the essential techniques, and really guide readers through step by step how to nail the perfect rib.
I love it. Were you always designated barbecuer?
I have a very varied background. Actually, I have a degree in French literature. I've been a restaurant critic, a wine and spirits editor for GQ magazine. I came to the calling of barbecue about 15 years ago, and Best Ribs Ever is my eighth book on barbecuing and grilling.
Oh, are they all barbecuing books or no, different books?
Well, I've written 29 books in all. 8 of them are about barbecuing and grilling, and those include The Barbecue Bible, Planet Barbecue, How to Grill, BBQ USA, and most recently, Best Ribs Ever. Actually, my next book is going to be a novel.
Wow. Good for you.
I've done a lot of writing about many different subjects.
Is it going to be about a barbecue murder? No, I'm just joking.
No. It's a love story set on Martha's Vineyard. No barbecue whatsoever.
Okay.
I love that. You know, I've just kind of discovered writing. And I think it's so amazing. It's like really taking what's in your mind and putting it on a paper.
It's therapeutic, too.
It's very therapeutic.
Okay, so let's get it. What are the best tips for barbecuing ribs?
Okay, well, first of all, it's important to pick the right rib. And if you're new to this game, I recommend starting with baby back ribs. Baby back ribs are cut from high on the hog. They are tender. They are well marbled. They are quick and easy to cook. You can produce really terrific baby back ribs in about an hour and a half. As you climb the ladder of barbecue enlightenment, you may want to graduate to something like a spare rib, which is meatier, fattier, but, you know, has a really rich flavor. Or you might want to try a beef short rib or cross-cut beef short ribs or even lamb ribs, which are kind of off the radar but have a fantastic flavor.
So baby back ribs are pork, and then spare ribs are beef, right?
No, spare ribs are actually pork, too.
Oh, they're pork
beef,
also.
Fine beef long ribs, which is sort of the bovine version of a spare rib.
Uh-huh.
And then short ribs, which are really popular in restaurants today. Well, what a lot of people don't realize is that you can thinly slice a short rib and direct grill it as you would a steak.
Well, I like the Korean ribs. You know,
that's exactly what I'm talking about.
The
kalbi kui, where you take a short rib and you kind of butterfly the meat.
It's like
bone.
Cut the opposite way of normal. Yeah.
Can you do that with any rib, though?
No, I don't know.
I'm sorry?
Can you cut any rib like that?
Well, I suppose theoretically you could.
Because
the problem is when you buy baby backs or you buy pork spare ribs or pork baby backs, usually by the whole bone, and in order to do that butterflying technique, you really need a 2-inch section of the rib. So you'd have to ask your butcher.
But I have, you know, it's interesting. I was buying a bunch of ribs.
If you want to use that technique, I would go with another kind of pork rib that's called a country style rib.
Right.
It's actually a sort of elongated pork chop cut from the shoulder and the neck of the hog. But that direct grills the same way.
So after you have the best meat ever, then what do you do?
Well, I'm looking at this one recipe right here, salt and pepper beef ribs. Yum, yum, yum.
Super easy to prepare. It's how they do it down in Brazil. And traditionally, the ribs are actually cooked on a steak in front of an open bonfire, in front of a campfire. So the only seasonings are really the wood smoke, the salt, and the pepper. And if you get a great-tasting beef, it's a fantastic recipe because it's all about the beef.
Mm. What is the biggest mistake people make barbecuing? Ribs.
Well, overcooking.
I think one big mistake people make with cooking ribs is to boil them first. And, you know, to me, this is a crime against nature.
Yeah.
You don't need to boil a rib. If you just work low and slow, that is, you work over a low temperature for a long time, you'll wind up terrific tasting rib.
Yeah, if you don't have time to cook them, don't even try, because it just is not worth it.
Yeah, or if you, you know, if you're starved for time, then use a quick cooking rib like a country style rib or a butterfly beef short rib. But another misconception, and this sort of lies in the realm of expectations, is that, you know, there's this funny notion that ribs, we use the phrase, ribs should be fall off the bone tender. Well, in fact, a rib should not be fall off the bone tender. A rib should have a little chew to it. That's why God gave you teeth.
And you know what? I like the little chew. I don't like when it falls off the bone. I like it to be a little, I don't want to say tough, but a little chew, like you just said.
No, it should have a little chew to it.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, so then how do you apply? I know a lot of people apply the sauce to it too early. They
do. The sauce should really go on right at the end if you put it on at all. And frankly, when I'm working with really good meat and really good spices and a nice smoky fire, I serve the sauce on the side because I want people to taste the meat, the spice first. However, if you want to use a sauce, you know, brush it on the last 5 minutes, move the ribs directly over the fire so you can sizzle the sauce into the meat. And that, you know, that's kind of like the lacquer that you would put on an old master painting.
You know, I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking to Stephen Reichlin. And,
Reichlin.
Yeah. Thank you. And we're talking about Barbecue Bible, Best Ribs Ever, 100 Killer Recipes. What is your most popular recipe?
Well, I think it's probably the first timer's ribs. Which is the first recipe in the book. And the reason it's popular is this recipe has been designed for people who have never before prepared ribs. So it tells you how to buy the meat, how to remove the membrane, how to make the rub from scratch, how to make the mop sauce, how to set up your grill, handle your wood chips. Super simple step-by-step procedure, but it's guaranteed you did competition style ribs.
So what is your view on smoking versus
barbecue?
You know, just straight barbecue.
Well, smoking and true barbecue are synonymous terms. And for me, smoke is the soul of traditional American barbecue and traditional American ribs. So, you know, a handful of hickory chips or oak chips soaked in beer or cider to keep them from bursting into flame, tossed on the coals, will give you an incomparable smoke flavor. However, as you travel around Planet Barbecue, you referenced Korean ribs earlier. Koreans don't add that smoke component to their ribs. So Korean-style ribs or Argentinian-style cross-cut beef ribs are great ribs to prepare if you have a gas grill, because they really don't require
Yeah, and I'm not really a smoke person.
I don't either. I like more of the grill.
And, you know, my husband's from the South. You don't have a Southern accent, so I'm surprised people are taking you seriously about ribs. But because when you go to the South, it is a religion down there, how they do the ribs.
Well, smoke is, you know, like I said, smoke really is one of the defining elements of traditional American barbecue.
Smoke and sauce are the two.
But part of what I try and teach in Best Ribs Ever is that, you know, we are part of the story, but we are not the whole story.
Right.
When it comes to ribs.
I like it. So if you could leave us, since we're approaching summer right now, what would be the best tip that you could approach us or tell us?
Well, I think the best tip is probably to understand heat control and understand indirect grilling. When you cook ribs, you want to cook them not directly over the fire as though you would a steak. You want to cook them next to the fire with the grill lid closed to hold in the wood smoke.
So if you have two sides to your barbecue, you have the fire on high on one side, but you have the meat on the other?
Exactly. And perhaps another thing I'd like to share with you is to, you know, further information, visit my website, which is barbecuebible.com. That's BarbecueBible.com.
Okay.
Or follow me on Facebook, which is Stephen Reichlin, author. And that's R-A-I-C-H-L-N. And we're going to be posting free rib recipes and techniques all week this week. So,
perfect. And can you where do we get your book?
You can find my book at your local bookseller, or, of course, on any of the online outlets.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Stephen, for joining us here on The Kim Pagano Show.
The pleasure's mine.
You got it. Can't wait to make some more ribs. So,
well, this is a good thing right before Memorial Day.
I know. That is, it really is one of my favorite things. And for anybody that was just tuning in right now, we were talking to Stephen Reichmillan, and his book is Barbecue Bible, Best Ribs Ever. And you know what? It's kind of like a given, the baked beans, the coleslaw, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, well, I'm really excited to get some of the recipes out here. So we do have our next guest, and we're going to just roll right in. And Rebecca, are you there? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, we're well, Tim.
Yes, it is.
Hi.
You're on there.
So we have Rebecca, and who else is on?
Is it Linda?
Linda Dominguez.
Okay, welcome. Hi. So tell us a little bit about what your survey is, and tell us a little bit about who you are.
My name is Rebecca Brightman. I'm an obstetrician gynecologist in private practice in New York City. I'm also a clinical instructor at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine here in New York. And I'm Linda Dominguez. I'm a nurse practitioner in private practice in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Southwest Women's Health. And I'm also the current chair of the Association of Reproductive Health Professionals, which is a group that is in gives education to medical providers.
Okay. And so what are we going to be talking about? You, I guess you guys did a survey, right, saying that women between 18 and 49 report having at least one accident or unintended pregnancy?
Yes, yes. We're here to discuss the findings of the Contraception in American Survey, which is a national landmark survey that evaluated women and their attitudes and the attitudes of their healthcare providers towards contraception. And, you know, it found that half of the women who had been pregnant had actually been pregnant with one or more unintended pregnancies. And it was a real wake-up call to shed light on the fact that women need to use contraception, and many women just assume they can't get pregnant while, in fact, they can. And women who frequently are using contraception are not using it properly.
Wow.
Okay. And
this was really shocking to me that it was this high.
Yeah. Now, here's a question. What about for women that, you know, if they're on the birth control pill, it makes them either sick, headachy? There's a lot of complications, also for the hormones. What's your thought on that?
Well, the birth control pills are the most commonly used method of contraception here in the United States and is probably the single drug that has changed the course of women's health, you know, in the history of women. It is a highly effective method, and it's a very safe method, but not a method that's not without its, you know, some minor and usually transient or temporary side effects, like a little headache or a little breast tenderness. Those symptoms generally go away relatively quickly. But the main concern about birth control pills is how demanding they are that they be taken at the same time of day every day, and in order for them to be effective. In other words, they're good for one day and one day only, but they have to be taken for many days in a row in order for them to be effective.
Right. It's not good enough just to have them in your purse.
No.
Right.
Working in
you mean
purse,
it doesn't work that way?
No.
Nope. Particularly with these low-dose pills, and we've seen an evolution of birth control pills from 35 micrograms, from 50 micrograms initially, down to 10 and 20 micrograms. They really need to be taken religiously at the same time every day.
And sometimes people don't realize when they take antibiotics, it can, you know, knock them out of your system, and so they're not as effective. And
well, we don't have absolute
knowledge
data on antibiotics. We do know that very strong antibiotics used over a long term can impact the birth control pills. But for the most part, what we find is that women just are not able to stay on schedule with the pills. And maybe when they're sick and they're on antibiotics, that's one of the reasons why they feel vulnerable at that time, because
right,
they just didn't really take them correctly because they weren't feeling well.
Ladies, what is the most important questions that women should be asking their physicians about contraceptive?
I think women really need to take into consideration, you know, what is a priority for them. They need to think about their reproductive planning the same way they would take into consideration planning their career and planning their finances. And there's a guidebook they can access, actually, as a result of this study, through a website sponsored by Teva Women's Health. And it's at the website whatwillyoudocampaign.com, and there's a series of questions they can ask themselves, and these questions have to do with what a woman's priorities are with respect to when she wants to start a family. Does she want to start a family? What are her feelings with respect to child spacing?
Are there any reasons why certain types of birth control are not good for her? And if she comes in with a well-armed series of questions, she's better able to address these with her physician, and it makes for a much more efficiently used use of time, I would say, with her physician.
Okay. Well,
I have a 16-year-old daughter, and I started way before she was 16, like 10.
Talking about
birth control, and that it is her responsibility and her right to take birth control and to be in control of her own body. And I think, when you see here all the stuff that's going on politically about birth control, ultimately it is a woman's right, and she needs to take control of it, because obviously men don't have their best interest in mind. I hate to say that.
Well,
I think that many women would agree with you. Your listeners would agree with you. But what they may be lacking is really understanding of the full array of contraceptives and how they're going to fit in her particular life right now. What are her needs now? What is her vision for her future? And what method is going to help her to reach those goals?
So what do you suggest? She has a conversation with her doctor and... what?
Well, the study found that women actually were engaging the conversation, not the other way around. Doctors were less likely to ask patients about their contraceptives than patients asking about contraception. Mm. So women are empowered, both by what they've been doing and what they need to continue to do for themselves, as you said. And what we hope that this program, this effort, the whatwillyoudocampaign.com, is going to give women more current information about all the methods and how they're going to best work for her.
So what's new?
What
is new that we don't know about?
Well, it's not just birth control pills. I think that's, a big misnomer. There are different types of hormonal contraception, whether or not it's a hormonal implant or a vaginal hormonal ring. There are many different things women can use, a patch. Also, IUDs. There's been a real resurgence in use of IUDs in the past. They received a really bad reputation in the 1970s. They've been reconfigured. They're really felt to be safe, even for women who have not yet had children. And for a young woman who's compliant with birth control pills and doing well, that's fantastic. But in my practice, I've seen women who have had issues with compliance, and for them, having an IUD in place that guarantees pretty much that they are not going to conceive until they're really ready, which may be 10 years from this certain point in time, is great. So there really are options.
But what are the side effects for the IUD?
Really, hopefully nothing. There are hormonal IUDs and there are non-hormonal IUDs. Some women may see an increase in bleeding and cramping, particularly the first couple of months after insertion. But typically that drops out by about 6 months or so. And they're, fairly well tolerated. And as I mentioned, recent studies are really suggesting that they are both safe and effective for young women who either want to, put off having children, not have children, or space out the intervals between pregnancies.
Mm. One of the things I've found in my practice in New Mexico, and I think through the West, is that many women are looking for methods that are not hormonal. And they're looking at, other options. And so the IUD that's good for 10 years actually helps them to achieve both goals, contraceptive goals and being without hormones.
And all of these things don't help you with sexually transmitted diseases, so you still have to protect yourself.
Absolutely.
From that.
And I'm glad you just said that, because I think that's one of the biggest kind of misthoughts of, the kids think if they're on birth control, but they still need to use a condom.
Well, I just read a very disturbing article that said that 4 out of 10 18-year-olds leave high school with a sexually transmitted disease or have had one, and that just scared the hoo-ha out of me.
Yeah.
That is true, and so one of the things that is in this guidebook is also, women need to protect themselves from STDs, because unfortunately the only method that we have available right now to prevent STDs, besides common sense in choosing a partner or not, would be a condom.
Right, or get tested. So that,
correct.
Before you have a new partner and have them tested and,
Yeah. So if you could leave us with one thought for anybody out there that obviously does not want to become pregnant and wants to have the best care, with that, what would you leave us with?
My last thought would be to please right now, while it's on your mind, go to your internet and access the whatwillyoudocampaign.com, all one word, whatwillyoudocampaign.com. Go through that guidebook. Go to those questions that you can ask yourself. Really use these moments for introspection about what do you want for yourself and what can you use to help you to reach your life goals.
And for those who have teenage sons and daughters, I mean, the time to talk to your kids is not when they're sexually active.
No, it's way before.
It's way before. And don't wait until you think they're sexually active, because sometimes you don't know. Even though your kid is good, sometimes you don't know.
Well, good and sex doesn't go to, I mean,
right.
doesn't,
I mean,
yeah,
like,
doesn't,
you know,
classify
your perception
it.
Of what right. they're doing and what they're doing may be different.
But I think that you need to be open with your children. You know, right. And what I've done, and you know, with my older girls, is taken them to the gynecologist and had them talk with them so that it's not, because sometimes parents, you know, mom, really? Well, it's kind of a talk
right.
with them so they have their privacy.
Well, that's great. And what we've found in the campaign is that actually women across the life continuum, the reproductive life continuum, need continued information about their reproductive life and their risks for an unintended pregnancy. So you all are great mothers. You
yes.
also need to be great daughters.
Right.
If your mom is getting into a new relationship.
That is true. I did hear about the senior citizens.
Having sexually transmitted diseases.
Yes.
Huge problem.
Huge. Because they think.
About that.
Yeah, they forget. So it's almost like a full circle here, you know.
It's a lifetime conversation.
Well, there you go. Well, thank you so much, ladies. I really think that it was a valuable topic. And I you know, I appreciate you being on.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. We are going to talk to Rob Blaze from our Coffee News, and it is Trivia Tuesday, and he's got some great gifts for us today for my listeners that get this right. So 805-639-0008 is our phone number here. And, you know, just get your name in, and I'd love to talk to you. Rob, are you there?
Yeah, Kim. Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, great. How about yourself?
Very, very good. What's going on in the coffee news world?
Well, this week in next week in coffee news, we've got interesting stories. We have a Minnesota farmer who didn't have any heirs, and he left $3.8 million to his hometown, which is a very small town in Minnesota, which surprised everyone. So they did a lot of good works with that money, and he'll go down in history.
Hmm.
That's nice.
Yeah. Then there's a tennis player in the Netherlands who has won more than 400 straight tennis matches, has a great winning streak, and she's unique because she actually plays tennis from her wheelchair.
Oh, wow. See, it's amazing what people can do, you know?
Now, does she play against people who are also disabled, or does she play against people who aren't disabled?
I'm not sure of the finer details. That may be in Coffee News, and if it's not, I'm sure you could Google it, but that is an interesting question that I'd like to know myself. And then we have another story, which is people who have sedentary jobs where they're sitting around a lot, they don't get a lot of activity, they might consider a new thing, which is the portable pedal machine.
Marcia just stood up. I know. You know, it's funny. I think about it all the time when I'm in here sitting in my chair. I should be, like, doing exercises while I'm on the radio. So
So they now have these portable pedal machines, and the British Journal of Sports Medicine reports that you can burn 300 calories per hour without interfering with concentration or job performance. So you might see a lot of people pedaling at work now.
I know. I'm thinking that would be a good idea. You just sit on a... Huh. Okay. So I would love to hear, we've got, two tickets to Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, but they've got something big going on there, don't they?
Yeah. This summer there's a great exhibit for everyone who's a Disney fan, which probably includes everyone. I've never met anyone that wasn't a Disney fan.
I don't think very highly of them if they're not.
I was like, wait, what? I thought you were going to say Disney.
If they don't like Disneyland, I kind of
think
twice about
them. It's like the happiest place on earth, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm a Disney geek, and this has got a lot of good stuff.
This exhibit is called Treasures of the Walt Disney Archives, and it opens on July 6th. It goes through April of 2013, and they've got more than 500 artifacts, including models, props, costumes, set pieces, artwork, on and on throughout Disney history. So it's going to be an incredible show coming this summer to the Reagan Library and Museum.
How fun. All right. So let's get our, you know, our trivia question out there. Again, I want to give out our phone number, 805-639-0008. Love to give you two tickets to Ronald Reagan Presidential Library and Museum to go see the treasures of Walt Disney Archives.
And so today's question is that if you paid attention in your science class, you should know the answer. What is the center of an atom called?
Ooh. Oh, I know.
Don't say it, Marcia. All right. What is the center of an atom called? 805-639-0008. Our phones are lighting up. So, all right. I will let you know who our winner is. And I'm really excited to have you on our show.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. All right. You got it. Do we have a winner? Nope, they didn't get it. Okay,
I think that was a little quick. Okay. Boy, that would have been.
Yeah, we got another caller. Okay, well, thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. Okay.
Have a great morning and a great day.
You too. Thanks so much. All right. So we've got, gosh.
So any Memorial Day plans? I don't know. I have.
Do we have a winner?
Yes, we do.
Oh, we do. And who are we speaking with?
Marty.
Hi, Marty. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Are you a first-time caller?
I am.
Great. And where are you calling from?
Ventura.
Ventura. Perfect. And are you on your way somewhere or are you sitting at home?
No, I'm sitting at home today.
Oh, you're streaming us. I love it. I love it. How'd you hear about the show?
I listen to it pretty much most mornings.
Oh, great. I'm so excited to have you join us. So what is our answer for today? What is the center of an atom called?
Nucleus?
That's right. All right. Very, very cool. All right. So are you a Disney fan?
Oh, absolutely.
There you go. I love it. Well, you just won yourself two tickets to Ronald Reagan Presidential Library.
Oh, cool.
All right. So stay on the line so that Barry can get all your info.
All right.
All right. And thank you. And share my show with everyone.
I will.
All right. You got it. Thanks so much. All right. With that, we are going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the Zen leader, 10 ways to go from barely managing to leading fearlessly. All right. Stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.
Vacations have been changed because of it. Wedding dates postponed for it. Come find out why. Get your tickets to the Casa Pacifica Angels Wine and Food Festival Sunday, June 3rd, hosted by the Zarley and Van Cusen families on the beautiful grounds of CSU Channel Islands in Camarillo. The Casa Pacifica Angels Wine and Food Festival is a foodie's nirvana with over 85 restaurants, dozens of caterers, bakeries, and specialty food vendors, plus over 150 wineries, 35 craft brews, a silent auction, all set to live music throughout the day. Get VIP tickets for the ultimate festival experience in the VIP lounge presented by Wells Fargo with exclusive foods, music, and the Anheuser-Busch Belgian Beer Garden. Come to the Casa Pacifica Angels Wine and Food Festival Sunday, June 3rd, benefiting Casa Pacifica Centers for Children and Families, providing hope and help. For tickets, go to cpwineandfoodfestival.com. That's cpwineandfoodfestival.com. Sponsored in part by Gold Coast Broadcasting.
We can't change where our economy is today, but we can make sense of our future. Retirement will be around the corner, whether you're planning for it or not. And let's face it, most people have not. Let Hannah and David help you strategize and get focused on your future. They'll show you ways to help you reduce debt, start saving money, earn higher rates of returns, help you save toward the cost of college, and protect your family and real estate using the suitable forms of life insurance. Call Hannah and David for a no-obligation consultation. Hannah and David have been helping families and business owners in Southern California since 1999 with a great proven track record. Call them in their new Westlake office. You can reach Hannah and David at 818-402-9396. Give them a call. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life.
Yeah. I used to think maybe you loved. Welcome back, everyone, and congratulations to Marty and to all my callers out there, because I love hearing from you. Even if you didn't get your name in, or you didn't get the answer right, you get your name in every day for a bigger gift and to be a part of our show. I want to give out my email here at kim@kimpaganoshow.com, or you can always call me at 805-419-0008. I'm doing a lot of coaching now, and I am doing a lot of speaking. I've been asked to do a lot of things going on right now, so I would love to share them and get invitations out to all of you that want to be a part of that. We also have June 7th, we have our Women and Wealth coming up, and in order to get an invitation, it is by invitation only. I would love you to join us from 5:30 to 8 over in Agora. So it should be a really fun night, and always, you know, good people, and that's what it's all about, learning. So I do want to welcome my next guest, and that is Jenny Whitelaw, and her book is The Zen Leader. And Jenny, are you there?
I am. How are you today, Kim?
Very good. Welcome.
Thank you.
I love it. So Zen, for everybody that doesn't know what Zen is, tell us what Zen means in The Zen Leader.
The Zen, well, the reason people don't know what Zen is it defies words. It defies description. It's really expression of your true being, who you are. The Zen Leader is you. It's yourself once we get out of our own way.
So once we get out of our own way, I like that.
It means something different for everyone, maybe.
That's right. And, you know, Zen is a system of disciplines. Zen training is meditation and other ways of working with the body to train the mind. So there's a long tradition of Zen training. But to talk about Zen always falls short because it's a real experience. It's not a concept.
And now tell us a little bit about you and your journey.
Well, I started out in Zen because my martial art teacher insisted upon it. I had started out in martial arts just to take self-defense when I was in college. But by the time I was in graduate school, I met a world-class Aikido teacher who became a lifelong mentor to me and trained for a good many years in Aikido. He also recommended I started Zen training, saying if you really want to reach the peak of your game, you need to start doing this. So I trusted my teacher, and I started doing that. But I was also a scientist and went to NASA wanting to be in the astronaut program, ended up going into management, not into space. So alongside this deep physical training was a professional career that took me into management and leadership, and I became very interested in putting those two worlds together.
I like it. I like it. I'm looking through your book, and what world are you making? You know, something that I ask a lot in my coaching is sometimes, like you just said, we are our worst enemies. We're the ones that kind of stand in our own way. And we need to look at the life that we're creating, because is it us or are we waiting for it to happen?
That's right. When we wait for something to happen, we think of ourselves as something that things happen to. We're already sort of stuck to the point, stuck to a delusion of self. And that's how we start getting in our own way. Then layer on to that all the things we can fear and have issues about. And as you say, we can be our own worst enemy.
So where do you start?
Yeah, there you go.
Where do you start? You know, I always start with the body because you're never without one. And the body can train the mind. You know, it's hard to start with the mind and just using willpower and thought because thoughts come and go too quickly.
Well, right. That's interesting. That's, okay.
Yeah. You start training the breath and the body, and you actually slow down and stabilize the condition in which thought and emotion develop. And so, that's why at the heart of Zen training is meditation. But even simple breathing exercises, even listening to this program right now, settling down, breathing into your center, the lower abdomen, and calming down, those kinds of words and phrases are deep in our language because that's where the stability is.
So you have the three laws of energy management. Can you tell us what that's about?
Sure. Energy is needed for the journey of leadership. And so part of the early part of the book is how to get energy when you need it.
To get
energy is to first center yourself, so using breath to center down, and to be able to find a rhythm in your energy so you're not just exhausting yourself, but really starting to use your energy much like your heart works on a beat, on a rhythm, and finding ways to put a rhythm into your day where you're taking breaks occasionally, taking some time to renew, starting to notice when your battery is low and how you can use your breath and a point of relaxation and a break step to come back to center.
Isn't it true that the more you breathe, the more you train yourself to breathe, the better you get at it? I mean, I do yoga, and when I first started, I had such a hard time focusing.
I still have such a hard time.
The first few minutes, and now it takes me a lot less time to get into it.
Well, you're exactly right. You're exactly right, because the muscles that control the lungs themselves have to learn how to relax, or else the breath comes very shallow and tight and always seems to get stuck. And the beauty of things like yoga is it helps release and relax those muscles so that we can breathe more deeply, more in a more centered way.
So to be in the Zen, do you have to have, obviously, meditation, but yoga too?
Yoga is a great preparation for meditation. In fact, it was originally developed as a way to condition the body so it could sit, so it could really be still. And, of course, it has its own benefits in addition to being a great lead into meditation. But right. What you're really working on always is breath and posture, whether you're doing yoga or whether you're doing Zen training.
We just stood up really straight. I sat up really straight in here. You know, sometimes you have to remind yourself that you're slumping.
Right. And it's like, you know, the body is like a fine musical instrument, that how we develop the breath in it has a lot to do with how we hold it and where tension settles in or where the body is clear. So that's why posture becomes important.
So then, okay, so let's say we have breath under control. Then what?
Breath under control. I love how you put that, because I want to say, who's controlling the breath?
The body or the mind, right? Uh-oh.
Well, one of the things that I really had to learn in my own training is that sense of I controlling is always a little too small, because that's another way we get in our own way. The journey of really settling the breath down is, in a sense, relinquishing control and being able to center in a bigness and stability where I can let go.
You know, I think that that's probably the biggest lesson for everyone, is to not be able to control life. Let life kind of, you always want to put your best foot forward. It's kind of a contradicting. You want to put your best foot forward, but yet at the same time, never try controlling life.
You know, I think being a parent is the best example of that, because when they're little, you don't have any choice. You have to control their life or they don't live, because you feed them and whatever. As they get older, they start feeding themselves.
And you have to relinquish, yeah.
And then they start making their own decisions. By the time they leave your house, you have no control over them.
Yeah.
And
if you think
you have done,
you're wrong.
You know,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Instilled.
Yeah. I check in. You start checking in with them. So.
It's a marvelous paradox. I mean, and it changes, as you say, as a parent all through the child's life, but even in our own life and in the life of leadership, that paradox between what I can really control versus where I need to let go and let some bigness into this picture, let some chaos into this picture, and then figure out how to play with it and use it.
Right. Okay. You know, it was interesting. My husband's old boss used to do a lot of public speaking, and this is the big boss, and he used to say, I always hire people smarter than myself. And I had to think about that, because, you know, I think the fear is that if you hire people or do things with people that are, you know, have better ideas than you, that they'll...
You're going to gravitate... Oh, that they're going to take over. But the
really,
better thing is that you're going to gravitate towards that next step in your life.
Always ready to better yourself.
Yeah. And I think that that's important to, you know, they say of five friends, right? You hope that, you know, you're not the smartest one. If not, you need to move on to another five set of friends, right?
So where do we go? Okay, so after we have kind of control, then how do we apply this to our lives?
Well, where the Zen leader takes people is through a set of flips that figure out how to use the pressure that we're feeling, and really all of life and leadership situations, to use that pressure to flip to new stages of development, levels of consciousness. So
we were just talking, for example, about the tension between control and letting go as a great example of paradox.
Right.
And starting to help people see the and-ness of life, not the or-ness, you know, not this or that. Is it control or letting go? It's
right.
Both in the right conditions, in the right amount.
I love that, seeing the and-ness of life.
That's right, seeing the and-ness. And there's so much paradox in leadership with how do I develop my people or drive results, or do I focus short-term or long-term? Am I operational or strategic? On and on. And it's neither this nor that. It's always how do I dance in a shift.
Yeah, and you talk about that, I think in Chapter 8 it says, from it's all about me to I'm all about it. That's a big shift
and,
right
you know,
there.
A lot of people are very talented people, but they're not great leaders. And it takes somebody that can see beyond themselves to be a good leader and draw the best out of other people to make the, you know, the whole thing better.
Well, exactly. And even a person who cares about drawing the best out of other people. You know, we were talking, Wenqing, earlier about having smart friends. There's a certain kind of security, being secure in yourself, that one needs before you're really ready to make it all about other people.
Right.
Right.
If you're still trying to fight your own case of self-worth, you're not going to go there.
This is very true. If anybody's just joining us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and I'm so glad that you are starting your day with us here in a positive way. I'm Kim. I'm here with Marcia. We got Barry on our board. Our phone number here is 805-639-0008. We're talking to Jenny Whitelaw, and her book is The Zen Leader, 10 Ways to Go from Barely Managing to Leading Fearlessly. What are the 10 ways?
Well, they start with where we've been talking about how to flip from kind of coping, putting up with life, to transforming, how to have energy for that journey, how to think in paradox, not in or. And then it continues to go through how to see ways I get in my own way from what things I project out there to finding the real issue of the problem in here. How am I playing into it? We guide people through patterns of personality so that they can not only see what they normally play to, but how they can shift and be agile using any of those energy patterns as they're needed, and then apply that wisdom to being able to move from a state of controlling to connecting. Not, again, as either or, but also and. To go from driving results to attracting the future, not as some kind of a woo-woo state, but really being able to connect on a broader sense beyond the boundaries of I to where real wisdom and insight arises.
So do you believe in, like, the victim? Because we've been talking a lot about this, that there's a lot of people that are the victim and then there's people that are the Zen leader.
Well, if we're in a victim mindset, we're not being a Zen leader. Right?
That's correct, but that's what I'm saying is the opposite.
It's the very opposite. You know, victim is good drama, and it, in a sense, takes us off the hook, because if it's not my fault, then you know, I can take some comfort in that, even if my life stinks and I'm miserably unhappy. But that drama mode is an example of coping. You know, victim is an example of a coping mode, and that's right where we start, because it puts us in a state of barely managing.
Well,
we're hanging on.
The other thing about being a victim, because I was a victim of actually a crime when I was younger, you give control to the person that victimized you. So, you know, the longer you stay in that role, the more that person continues to have control over you.
Absolutely.
When you give it up, then they have no more control over you. You can go on with your life and not get stuck in.
Well, I think that's
something.
What I really want to concentrate for my listeners is that if you are feeling like, oh, my life's not ever going to get any better, or that, you know, I've gone through this hard time and now what, there's just so much more ahead of you. And so I really want to take them through the 10 steps of being a leader, because you are leading your life to a better place.
Well, and the very first step is what we're talking about right now. It's how do I take the difficulties of my life, the places where I feel stuck or like a victim or barely hanging on or always in a hurry or tormented by something going on. How do I take that energy and radically reframe it?
Right.
And the way I do that is by moving right into it and moving. It sounds ironic, but moving right into the things I'm afraid of, moving right into the fears I have, breathing right into it. And once I enter the storm, it can no longer get all of me.
And fearlessly, which is part of your book title, I love that word, to do something fearlessly, to jump in. And
without any inhibitant. I mean, just to know that it's going to be the right thing because it's your life.
Even if it's not the right thing, that you just go ahead and do it.
That's right. You know, and deal with the consequences, but who cares? I mean, it's like
we're
stuck in kind of immobilized by our fears. We're not doing anyone any good, including and especially ourselves.
Wow. You know, we're going to have you back because we are at the end of our show. I packed as many things as I can in there. And where do we find your book?
Well, thank you for asking. Well, it's certainly online on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and bookstores. And at thezenleader.com, you can find out more information about the book.
You got it. Well, I appreciate that. And
The Zen Leader by Ginny Whitelaw.
Yep. 10 ways to go from barely managing to leading fearlessly. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You have a great day. All right. Well, Marcia, you have a wonderful day. Thank you for being here. And Barry, thank you for our board and our winners and all of our callers and all of our listeners.
Always a pleasure to be a part of the show, Kim.
Thank you.
That's all for me.
Thank you. So, gosh, what does everybody have planned for their day? I hope that you make it a good one and make it count, you know, whatever. We've got some crazy things going on, you know, with graduation and proms and everything's happening. It's kind of like the last of the, you know,
go ahead fearlessly.
There you go. Exactly.
I think I'm barbecuing.
Yeah, there you go. Well, of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment. And today's is goals in writing are dreams with a deadline. And, you know, God, put your goals down on paper so that you have something to work towards. So with that, I'm Kim. You've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
See what you can find. If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Speed along the lane, do a down or a turn of 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it good and lay-by. When our grandpa, when our daddy, when our mean, we love everybody, but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go sailing in the sea. We're always happy, last we're living, yeah, that's our philosophy.